It is no overstatement to say that property tax revenues are the lifeblood of local government. So what do local leaders think about the tax-exempt properties within their borders, the ones that take up municipal services but are exempt from paying taxes, like religious institutions and schools? Well, the Center for Local, State, and Urban Policy, Close Up, at the Ford School of Public Policy at the University of Michigan, has made that the central question of its latest Michigan Public Policy Survey. And program manager Tom Evacco joins us now. So why look at this question, Tom?
Well, there's evidence that these kinds of properties are becoming more common across the nation. We've seen other reports that say that growth of tax-exempt properties are happening much more frequently in the last decade or so, particularly in large urban communities. The Urban Institute gathers a lot of data on these kinds of things and shows that 501c3s, nonprofit organizations, have grown by 25% or so in the last decade across the nation.
Do you think that's a response to the Great Recession and that there's greater need for assistance, so therefore they're responding to that? Or?
That probably is a bit of what's going on, I would imagine. I think there's some other kinds of nonprofits that appear to be shrinking over time. Business organizations that are nonprofits and so on. But 501c3s, the kind of community-based organizations that we think of, are growing. And it probably is in part at least due to the issues brought up by the Great Recession and cuts in services.
So what kinds of – I mean, what are we talking about when we say tax-exempt properties? I mean, I can think of a church right away. But give us examples.
Yeah, there are quite a few different kinds. The most common kinds in Michigan are religious organizations and their property holdings. K-12 school systems, of course, take up property in a city, but they don't pay taxes.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most common kinds of exemptions that really surprised us was principal residence exemptions for people in poverty. 47% of jurisdictions with exempt property have this kind. But then there's others. State and federal forest land in the Upper Peninsula and the Northern Lower Peninsula are take up an awful lot of land. Housing facilities for the elderly and disabled, nonprofit hospitals. So there's really a wide range of these things.
And I would suspect where you live in Michigan would kind of influence what types of tax-exempt properties are in your municipality.
That's right. Certainly up in the Upper Peninsula and the Northern Lower Peninsula, forest land is the most common. One thing that does stand out, though, is almost all kinds of these exempt properties other than forest land become more common as the size of the community increases. So religious properties are much more common in large jurisdictions than in some of our smallest ones.
Which totally stands to reason. Yeah,
exactly. K-12 districts and so on.
And then that would also then, I guess, influence the percentage of the land that you have in your municipality that has tax-exempt properties on it. So it's got to be very different if you're in a dense urban area versus the Upper Peninsula.
Yeah, it is different. Although in some ways there are some commonalities. So one of the questions that we asked local leaders to try to get a gauge of this is how much of your property base is taken up by exempt properties? And it's highest in big jurisdictions. 48% say that these exempt properties take up a moderate or significant portion of their land. Although even in the smallest jurisdictions, 41% say that.
Okay. So there is that. So you're looking at, I'm sure, trying to get a sense of what the leaders see as the balance between what these groups can offer the community and what they take up in terms of resources. So what did you hear?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we found kind of mixed views by local leaders. And a lot of it depends on how much of this kind of property is in their jurisdiction. We asked how much is in the jurisdiction on three different measures, on the land base, on the amount of potential tax revenue that they could get, and on the sources of service demands that their jurisdictions face. And so we find different viewpoints based on different outcomes of those measures. Overall, local leaders are more likely to say that these taxes on properties are assets rather than liabilities to their fiscal health. That surprised us a little bit.
Why?
Well, so these different exemptions and the organizations that own them certainly can bring benefits to a community. Nonprofit hospitals deliver critical medical care and provide a lot of jobs. School systems give us more highly educated citizens and workers. Nonprofit cultural amenities like a museum may help bring tourists into the community. So there are some benefits that these things bring to their communities, even as they introduce financial costs because they're not paying the property taxes.
So again, looking at that balance and which outweighs the other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so local leaders are more likely to say that these things are assets overall to fiscal health than liabilities. But there are some tipping points there. And it goes back again to how common these exemptions are in a community. And so what we found is in those jurisdictions that say these exemptions take up a significant portion of their land mass, that asset liability gauge flips. Only 15% say that they're assets. 40% say that these are financial liabilities.
So what's the message here?
Well, I think the message is this is something to keep an eye on. As I say, there is evidence that these things are becoming more common as time goes by. We know that this is a time of great fiscal stress for a lot of local governments. And so if we continue to see more and more properties being taken off the tax rolls, I think we're going to start to see more discussion among local governments about looking for ways to boost revenues to make up for those losses.
On somebody's back.
That's
it's got to
right.
come from somewhere. Tom Evacco, Center for Local, State, and Urban Policy at the Ford School of Public Policy at the University of Michigan. Thanks so much for talking with us, Tom.
Thanks, Cindy.